Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
How are you? I'm terrific.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah.
Good.
I haven't shaved in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Yep, you're getting kind of beardy.
Well, I've been having struggles trying to shave my neck.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, well, what you got to do is let your hair grow out, and you have to like use this map of a face to figure out how your hair grows
okay.
in certain areas.
Map of a face.
Yeah, like a map, like a shave map.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know either, but I found out.
Face map.
So I'm just kind of trying to figure it out because, you know, I'm going to have to use a razor, like not like a clippers, but like a razor for the first time in like 10 years.
I know, you're very anti this idea.
I know, but I mean, at the same time, though, I've been using clippers and it gives me uncomfortable situations and I don't like it. So that is what the people need to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Very important.
But yeah, so over the weekend, I'll just talk about a few things. Over the weekend, we went to, the Retro Toy. It's a Retro Toy and Doll
Toy and Doll show, also with vinyl show, also with guitar accessories.
Guitar show, yeah.
Show. It was many things altogether.
It was many things all in one room, which was, it was out at the convention center, I guess, which is a convention center out here. In Denver,
mm-hmm.
Didn't feel really that big as a big convention center, at least compared to the one downtown.
Right. Well, it wasn't. Yeah, it's not like as big as that one.
No, but this one was kind of like, you know, they just stuffed everything into one room, and it was a little bit overwhelming. I'll be honest.
You know, we haven't been to one in so long because, you know, we used to go to cons all the time.
Yeah,
comic cons, but like we just hadn't been to one in so long, and I forget how draining they can be.
Yeah.
When you're walking a huge floor and you're dodging people and it's so loud and it's hot.
Yeah. And this also used to be like an issue, I feel like, when I used to, you know, buy a lot more comics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a lot of comics. We got a lot of comics as it is.
We do.
Many of which we haven't read. So I was like, maybe I should read those first.
I did buy some.
Well, you bought, but you found some like old romance comics.
You know how I love them.
Those don't always pop up.
Oh, no, I know.
For deals.
I know. Like and that guy gave me a good deal too.
Yeah. So that's cool. But yeah, no, it was kind of nice though, just to look at some stuff. I bought a few gimmicks, but the thing is, you know, just, I was actually more interested in looking at more vinyl.
Oh yeah.
Cause that's kind of been like a thing for us lately, you know, trying to find like good records mm-hmm. to listen to on vinyl, like for music we like.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Like, we're now in this stage where we're like trying to buy records that we think are like total bangers. Mm. Like, I'm not just going to buy, like, I used to buy CDs for like one song.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. If I like one song, I'll stream it. But I want to buy like those records that are like, you know, foundational to me. Like, it was recently my birthday and you gave me Nine Inch Nails Pretty Hate Machine for my birthday, which is one of those albums that I'm like, fucking banger. Shaped Who I Am, love this fucking album so much. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking to buy.
Yeah. I don't know if I have so... I have foundational albums, but I was more... Since I was more of like a radio guy.
Uh-huh.
Not that you weren't. We weren't a radio person, but like I was so into radio. Like, so there was so much stuff. Like, obviously, there's a lot of the established bands, but then you get like a lot of like rando stuff mm-hmm. that come through that, you know, you're just... Like you said, it's like you don't want to go out and buy an album.
Right.
Just for one song, but, you know, I don't. But that's kind of how I just, you know, situated myself with music a lot of times until maybe like later on. But yeah, I was looking for, there's some stuff I wanted to find and I thought that would have been cool. But yeah, maybe another time. There's actually another big record shop coming.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Mm. A couple of weeks. So we may find more.
We may.
So yeah. And then Monday we went, it was your birthday.
It was my birthday.
And we went to go see The Crow.
1994 is The Crow.
1994, yeah, excuse me. Yeah.
We have to specify.
Unfortunately, I have to classify which one it is now.
Yeah, we got to specify now because there's that other one that's coming out with the trailer that, you know, looks kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. I'm going to give it a chance. But it was actually on my birthday mm-hmm. when there was a showing of it down in the Alamo Draft House. And I was like, oh, my God, it's like they knew. So, yeah, we went and we saw it. And I was fucking thrilled.
Yeah, I was, well, I kept on, I was telling you, and I feel like this was kind of the situation going in where I didn't really appreciate The Crow as much, even though it was, what, 1994 came out,
mm-hmm.
and I was reading Wizard pretty regularly,
yeah.
Wizard magazine, and it was a thing that they were covering, especially once Brandon Lee was killed on set, and, you know, just hearing all about it, and it just never occurred to me to go see it, but The Crow was just kind of, you know, whatever. But although I will say, you I wholeheartedly agree with this, the soundtrack.
Oh, such, again, that's another one of those albums.
Foundational album.
Foundational albums, which I own, I purchased, and I'm so glad I have it.
The soundtrack was probably more important to me than the actual movie.
Sure.
Because I never really saw the movie until I think much later on when, like, you and I were together and mm-hmm. you have the DVD.
Yes.
So I watched that.
Which I find is so funny because I could literally, like, I could quote along with that movie. Yeah. I could recite it line by line.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it so many times and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, but this was like my second time seeing it. I feel like it was the second time seeing it. And I don't remember as much the first time seeing it, you know, watching it, like, because it was, I feel like it's been so long. But this time I was like, wow, this movie friggin' rules.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, it moves so quickly.
Yes, it does.
And there are some issues with it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That I have as far as, like, The Crow being, like, you know, he's pretty much, like, nigh invincible until, like, the last, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
Until they're like, hey, look at that crow. Let's shoot it. You know, and then they'll do something. But everything else there is it just insane. You know, just insanely, like, stylistic and just fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of really colorful characters and just gnarly looking people and blood and action.
Yeah.
You know, and just and the cloak, Brandon Lee as the Crow, and just the him in that makeup and everything, like, that's,
oh yeah,
such a look. It's such an iconic look.
And absolutely.
So much so that
Sting ripped it off.
Ripped it off
and continues to rip it off
and makes so much money off of it because he was like, I'm the Crow. But he did it well too. That's the thing. That's it's a good look to pull off.
It's fucking great.
If you could pull it off, you're in good shape, man.
Yeah, it's good makeup.
Yeah, just like, especially if you have like the hair.
Oh yeah.
Everything, you gotta kind of have the hair.
Yeah.
You know, coming down and just the way that it is. But it was so cool. And I'm glad that we got a chance to see it. That was really special.
Yeah, I'd actually never seen it on the big screen, so I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, that's even better, I think, for you on your birthday.
Yeah.
To see one of your favorite movies of all time on a big screen.
100%.
So, and I'm it's weird because it was part of like this queer theory.
Yeah, like queer movie theory, like 101.
Yeah. Talk about, like, they have like this guy who, whatever, some,
yeah, I don't know what his name, I forget what his name is.
He's like a, you know, like maybe like a critic or some sort.
Yeah.
And he comes on and he just kind of, you know, he's talking into the camera and he's putting on the Crow makeup and he's kind of hashing out like these similarities between the, you know, things about the Crow and queer identity and stuff like that. And I'm like, I get it.
Oh, absolutely.
And I understand where he's coming from, but it's also kind of like, we really want to see the Crow.
Yeah.
How can we work this?
Which is totally fine.
And you see, those themes are in there and it's cool to kind of recognize that stuff. But it's also like a bunch of people being around, like, you know what? The Crow. Let's do the Crow. You know,
Also the crow.
And so, yeah, I was really happy with that.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what book we're doing this week?
I would love to know what book we're doing this week.
So this is the last of our trilogy of books in the Marvel Team Up series,
mm-hmm.
for now. Well, maybe we might come back to Marvel Team Up in the future.
Uh-huh.
But this is issue 126 from February 1983.
Okay.
It is, as we talked about last week, it is two Titanic tales.
But two Titanic tales?
Two Titanic tales, although after reading them, not so Titanic.
No. Definitely not. I would agree with that. Definitely not super Titanic.
Yeah, not really in a, you know, as doesn't really live up to it. Just feels like they were kind of, I feel like this is a month where they were like, you know what, we're kind of strapped for something.
Well, I feel like that's kind of admitted, especially in the Hulk part, because there's a little note about how it like ran in a newspaper.
Yeah, it's a newspaper thing.
And they're like, but only in certain cities. So we thought you'd like to see it. And I'm like, you guys were just hanging on to this so you didn't have anything else.
But then they also take like a random backup. Like it's like, what you call it? Like, it's like a pre version of like Marvel Comics Presents, mm-hmm. when they would just have like random story, you know, these shorter stories of different characters, you know, and sometimes they have different people team up or whatever. And this one is just happens to be a backstory with Hellstorm and Power Man.
Yeah. Cage.
So yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with here. So basically, if you look at the cover here, what's going on the cover here?
So it's like a split, like right down the center. And on the left, you've got Spider-Man and Hulk. And Spider-Man looks like he's jumping over Hulk as Hulk is punching.
Yeah, he's actually avoiding. Is like,
avoiding like, a fist.
There's a lot of taint, too.
There's a lot of taint. There's a big
taint,
ass.
Just taint
like,
ass from yeah. Spider-Man.
And then on the right, you have Power Man and Son of Satan. And they're like hanging out together in the foreground. And there's like a pink demon guy with a hand like yeah. in the background.
There's like a demon energy thing going yeah. on. So, yeah, that's pretty much what we're dealing with here. Nothing
groundbreaking.
Nothing groundbreaking. So we start off, and that's interesting enough, we start off with the Hellstorm Power Man.
Yes, which I was actually surprised about. I thought that would be the last one.
Well, it you would think so. You would think it would be the other way around. But since the Spider-Man is pretty much like, hey, might as well throw this in here.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's February. Nobody's going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Or whenever this came out. Yeah, so they basically were just like, we'll just put this together and, you know. Here we go. So right. This one's called Power Man and Son of Satan, A Firm Offer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is odd, but yeah, we'll talk about it.
So we're in New York City and what's his face? Hellstorm is just standing there.
Yeah, he's just kind of hanging out. He's hanging out in like an alleyway.
This way that he's
looking sad.
We actually know what it is. And I just noticed this. I'm looking at this picture here or this drawing here. And he's kind of standing like he's urinating like at a trough.
Oh,
like
God.
You would, like if you just pulled it out and just stood at a truck, like guys do that, you know?
I was going to say, I don't know what that would actually
that's
wow.
a power move, actually, because I'm not.
Just like standing there with your hands in your pockets and your dick
you
hanging
kinda,
out?
Yeah, you kind of just, yeah. Some
aren't you worried you're going to get like pee on your pants?
Some guys just do the no hold.
The no hold? Is that a thing?
Yeah, some guys could do the no hold. I feel like he's kind of doing that. He's kind of assuming that pose, but he's clearly not doing anything. He's just standing there.
That's brave, man.
But yeah, it just kind of like he's like just looking down. But I don't really know what he's doing here. Actually, he's having a sad.
Yeah, he's really, really sad because of some events that happened in another book.
Well, what happens is it's in Defenders 116. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it even says here, and in Defenders 116. But it's like a weird issue where like nothing happens, but
cool.
We're talking about, we're like something, we just get like a bunch of random stories and not like kind of unlike this, but not really, but like you basically, it's like Dr. Strange is sad
because he's Dr. Strange
and he's sad because Clea's left him or Clea's gone or something, or she was killed or whatever.
Wait, is she the one who shows up at the very end, Doctor Strange, the movie?
The Madness one? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the one that they're supposed to be introducing.
Yeah, if we ever see that again.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I mean, Charlize Theron's just like, I did this once, and now I'll never do it again.
Yep.
He's depressed or something, and there's a character, Overmind, who's just kind of in this team now, and he's using some sort of psychic pool, or doing something where he's basically like, hey, check out all the other Defenders. They're all out having relationship things. And, you know, we show Beast on a date. And then there's the Gargoyle, who's like an old, really was like a 90-year-old man that was turned into a gargoyle superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like hanging out with like the maid and the Defenders, you know, and they're just enjoying each other's company. And then what happens is Hellstorm shows up because Patsy is there. No, I can't think. Maybe it's the other way around. Patsy shows up. Hellcat. Because they were married at one point.
Wait, Doctor Strange was married?
No. Hellcat and Hellstorm.
Oh, man, that must have been confusing. Do they call each other Hell?
Oh, I don't know. Hell? That's a good question. I think he kind of just went by like he was more like a Damien, or he was more like Son of Satan. So he wasn't really like more Hellstorm until like the 90s.
Okay. Which is still such a strange. It's strange, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, so something happened where they didn't get along, or you know, something happened, whatever, and they're in their marriage, and he's upset, and it's something that obviously eventually will be resolved, maybe. I don't know. But he's standing in his alley. There's a cute cat at the bottom.
There is a cat. I was very excited about it. His little cat hanging out in the alley, and he's like standing there having a sad, and he hears something.
He hears something. We don't hear any noise. He just turns his head, and he's like, by the seven circles.
Right.
Yeah, and he turns around, and he sees in a shadow. He doesn't know yet, but we see in the shadow, it's Luke Cage standing over a dude.
Because what Hellstorm or Son of Satan or Damien, whatever the fuck, thinks he sees is somebody committing a murder.
somebody committing murder, and he's like, man, New York City has a lot of murders.
Because this breeds murderers. Yeah. This city breeds murder and crime. And I'm like, wow, man, you'd fit in today. You could get a job on Fox News.
So he creeps up behind Luke Cage, and Cage turns around, and he's like, what the fuck? And he punches him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And because he thinks that Hellstorm was the murderer, and he's just like coming back to be like, hey, did I finish it? You know, kind of thing. But this is when, and this is something that's happened, I've seen him do before, and it's always fine to be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just in his civilian clothes, right?
Luke Cage.
No.
Well,
Hellstorm.
Hellstorm, yes.
He's just wearing like his blazer and stuff. And in order to change into the son of Satan, you know,
he has to do like a pitchfork finger thing.
Well, he does like the Dudley's 3D, like he holds up the three fingers.
Is that what that is?
Well, yeah, because they would do the 3D or whatever, you know, they would hold them up and that, or hustle, loyalty, respect, you know.
Oh, is that what that's supposed to mean?
Cena's always doing it like.
I don't know what Cena's doing.
Yeah.
Cena doesn't know what Cena's doing.
Just
a quick aside for wrestling things.
Oh, okay.
I was in a meeting on Zoom. And I saw a dude I work with who was in the UK wearing an NWO shirt.
That's that. I respect that.
So I pinged him and I was like, hey, man, I like shirt. And he just sent it back for life. Because apparently that is what you say.
Because NWO is for life.
NWO for life.
If you join the NWO, you could never leave it until you die.
Nope. It's for life.
That was what Vincent Virgil, R.I.P.,
oh.
He was in there for life. He was in also in the Meat Sauce Mafia.
Meat Sauce
because
Mafia.
Because he loved Olive Garden. That was his thing. He would go around. He would spend a lot of time.
So there's like a mafia involved in Olive Garden.
Yeah, something. Not the mafia you think, but it was more like a bunch of guys.
No, that mafia is not going to the Olive Garden.
The Meat Sauce Mafia is just a bunch of dudes going into Olive Garden being like, yo, this shit's fucking fly. Give me more breadsticks.
Yeah, I was going to say like, actual Italian mobsters are not going to the Olive Garden, but the breadsticks are good.
They are good.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so
he does the thing with the hands.
He does the thing with the hands, and he's done this before in a book we've read.
He says NWO for life.
He goes for life.
For life.
And he turns into his. He ends up donning his outfit, which is just tights and a cape and no shirt and a pentagram on his chest.
And his pitchfork.
Don't forget his pitchfork. Because it's more important that he does both of the fingers. You know, each hand, the three fingers on each hand, that creates the pitchfork, something.
It's so random.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
And they just appear out of thin air or come from another dimension how does that work?
Comes from like the Satan dimension or whatever it is.
The Satan dimension.
Or something to that effect. I don't know. It's the hellfire magic.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So he shoots Luke Cage with his staff. He blows off explodes his shirt. And then they recognize each other.
Yeah, and he's like, wait a second, you were with the Defenders.
Uh-huh.
Because
Luke Cage, there was the Defenders for a day, like, how many years ago?
And so he's like, well, you know, he's like, well, what happened, Luke Cage? And he's like, well, I just happened to come across this guy, and he's half dead. I got to get him to a hospital.
Well, here's the thing. So this guy, his name is Tyrone D. Gus.
Yes.
Which is a weird last name, Gus.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Gus.
I just like the name Gus, like as a first name.
What's Gus short?
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Guster?
I don't know, because I think it's just Gus, which means there are babies named Gus. And I would like to meet a baby named Gus.
Gus.
Because I don't know if it's short for anything.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure we could look that up. It's kind of like Butch.
Yeah, well, Butch is kind of like more a nickname.
I know like Butch Walker, like his...
Is that his actual, like, legit name?
No, his real name is Bradley.
Yeah, see, it's more like a nickname you get.
But I also have, like, an uncle named Butch. And
like, legit name?
Well, I don't know if that's his birth name, but I know I got an Uncle Butch. That's all I don't him.
That's fun.
Yeah, but I've never been like, what's Uncle Butch? What's your real government name? You know? It's never come across. Never happened. But anyway, so he sees this Gus guy, Tyrone Gus, and Luke is like, this dude used to help me out on the streets. He was a teacher. He was a teacher and he taught me and he was cool. And then once I started doing this,
I didn't think this was here. I thought this was when they went back to the thing.
Well, he mentions it here.
Oh, okay. That's what I couldn't remember if it was here or later.
Yeah. He mentions it here for like a second.
Yeah. Cause he's like, basically pontificating while this man bleeds out.
Yeah, because this guy's just bleeding from his like back or something. And he was like, and this guy called, he's like, oh, this guy called me for something big. And he's like, well, this guy's almost dead. And Hellstorm is like, well, I could maybe heal him with the power of Satan.
Yeah. And so he like bends down to do it. And like, as he, I don't know, puts the Satan power over this man, he turns into ash.
He just incinerates.
Yeah.
He does a foom.
Yeah, he does foom.
It's a foom and becomes Ash Man.
And Luke Cage is like, what did you do? Because I would say the same thing. And he goes, I didn't do anything. There's like another power
Did you turn your Satan stick to kill?
I mean, I think the Satan stick has to always be on kill. Is that the idea?
Oh, you turned your Satan stick to evil. That's your problem.
That's your problem right here. We got to switch this on back.
So Luke's pretty upset. Oh, no, he talks about it later. Yeah, he talks about this guy.
Oh, that's what I thought.
But and he's, you know, they go back to their office. Luke and Iron Fist are a thing.
Right. And they have an office with Heroes for Hire whatever. Yeah.
Heroes for Hire. You know, this is like in the prime, you know, we're Heroes for Hire. You know, we're still rocking with that. They go back to this office and Luke throws a couch because he's so angry.
That's right. He's so upset about this because this is when he tells him the story about how like this teacher saw past like the angry young man and like really reached him and he was super cool or whatever. And then he came back to the city and this guy is just now homeless and drunk all the time.
Yeah.
And so he wants to like help him. And so now he's upset because he's a pile of ash.
He's a pile of ash and he hated couches.
And so Luke Cage like throws a couch across this room, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. And so Luke's like, well, I'm going to go do this alone. And Hellstorm's like, well, since my Satan stick almost maybe turned into ash. Sort of
killed this guy.
And it's like, you know, I got involved. I'm going to help you out. So yeah. Team up.
Woo.
You know, because Iron Fist is, according to Luke, out in the woods meditating.
Does he do that a lot?
I mean, he's got the spiritual stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So actually, this is actually kind of, I think this is kind of funny. So they go out, hit the streets trying to figure out what the hell happened.
Right.
And then he notices for 12 hours. 12, so half a day.
Jesus.
Half of your day.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this happened at like noon or midnight. They were doing from midnight to noon, they were out on the streets beating up a bunch of transients and pimps. They say you're pimps. Like we're just getting like all these videos like of these panels of like, you know, like him strangling like Huggy Bear. You got this guy here who looks like a porn guy. He's getting like, you know, like a spear, you get the trident
guy.
Yeah. Because he might have an idea, might have a handle on what's going on.
This is what year is this?
Oh, this is 82, 83. Yeah.
So we're still kind of in the like 70s era when all dudes looked like porn dudes.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they were, that's because that's the thing with the people that wrote, that drew this. Actually, we didn't mention that. J.M. DeMatteis, scripter, wrote this.
Yep.
Bob Hall with the pencils and Mike Esposito inks. So Hellstorm uses his trident as like a beak, like a antenna to like track.
Oh, kind of like if you're looking for water and you have a stick, like a divining rod.
Yeah, it's that's a divining rod. Called. He calls it it's tuned to psychosensitive metal, which
it's detecting some sort of energy that he believes that guy was putting out or something. And apparently, also, which we learn here, Son of Satan can use his pitchfork like a broomstick and like fly on it.
He doesn't fly, and he's flying with it.
I mean, but look at the end; it looks like a witch broomstick.
It does. Well, it is propelling him. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So he kind of uses it as a broomstick.
That's funny because I don't know if that's for show or really if he needs it because he's kind of holding it like sideways.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, like, well, if the propulsion is coming from the end of the stick,
mm-hmm.
you would have to like sit on it. You couldn't just like do it to the side because you'd just be going the opposite way.
Right.
He did not learn this in Satan school. He did not learn how to ride this properly. He was hanging out with his dad that day. They were fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, his father, Satan.
How did that ever happen?
What?
That we get a character.
Because it was the 70s, man.
I guess. But like, why is he a good guy?
Well, the Satan's already a bad guy, though.
But he's the son of Satan.
Well, because he could be. They figure it's like, yo, Stan Lee is probably.
I mean, he's a Nepo baby. He should be taking over his father's role
Nepo Satan.
As CEO of hell. That's how this worked.
No, I don't know. I think Stan Lee was just sitting around or something. He's like, hey,
what if Satan?
What if Satan, okay? Satan, true believers.
Oh my God.
You believe Satan.
Could you even imagine attempting to create a character or introduce a character like that into the Marvel universe right now?
I don't know. Actually, I feel like they kind of, well, no, they don't really. I don't know. There might be characters like that as they probably have introduced.
No, but I mean, like, literally called the Son of Satan.
I don't know. It might be a little weird. I think if this came out today, like Son of Satan came out today, people would be like, what the fuck? Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean, there'd probably be a lot of Christians mad. There probably were a lot of Christians mad as it was.
Oh, you know, well,
just even addressing Satan.
Because
it's comic books. So it's like,
well,
and he looks like a complete doofus with his pants and his thing.
I do want to, just as a side note, I do want to say that I'm reading this book. So I just started reading it. And it's called The 10-Cent Plague, The Great Comic Book Scare and How It Changed America. And this is when everybody lost their fucking mind about comics.
Is this about the destruction of the innocent?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like when everybody starts losing their fucking mind about the comics and even how they were created, which is kind of interesting. So, yeah, I'm going to read more about that because I think there's a lot of holdover.
Oh, I bet.
There was for many decades.
Oh, I 100%. Yeah.
Related to this. So.
Luke and Hellstorm, they
like open a portal.
They open a portal, or they get to the place where it's supposed to be, and they, which is, it's crazy because they go into like this random warehouse and they go inside and like it's like a full on like devil worshiping party with like eyes in the air. But it's not devil. Mm. Or it's a demon.
It's a demon.
Demon named Satanish.
I was reading that as Satanish.
That's how I've always read it. But I think it's Satanish.
Which I'm assuming is like, kind of like Satan is like what you ordered and Satanish is what you got. You know what I mean? Like, that's what shows up.
Hey, how about this?
That's the wish version of Satan.
So how about we have this? How about we have the son of Satan? We have Satan, right? You got Satan. He's the main guy. And then you got his son. His son's a kind of a cool guy. But then you have this other guy over here. He's kind of like Satan.
Satanish.
He's kind of Satanish. So that's what we're going to call him. See you later.
Give me money. Wee!
I'm off to create something for the Hulk. Stanley. Nonetheless, Satanish, these people here are partying for this demon. And what's his face? Hellstorm is like, let's fucking stop this shit. And probably
because it's not his dad.
And it's not his dad. He's like, oh, I can beat this guy up. And what's his face? Luke Cage is kind of like, hey, man, do you think we should kind of be a bit more indiscreet about this? He's like, oh okay. I mean, people call me hothead, but this is literally Son of Satan.
Right.
He is.
And he's probably pissed because these people are not actually worshiping his father.
Yeah.
As they should be.
Like, wait.
They're worshiping this wish version of Satan, the one you get off Timu.
Timu Satan.
That's not acceptable.
Yeah. No, it is the Kirkland signature Satan.
It's the Kroger Satan.
Kroger Satan. Hi, I'm the Kroger Satan. Would you like to buy some sushi?
Two for four
sushis. We got some left over from a week ago.
Ew.
Odd. You shouldn't eat it, but you can buy it if you want.
Yeah, no. You really shouldn't.
Kroger Satan. That's what I do. I sell you expired sushis.
Kroger Satan.
So they go to barge in and they hit an invisible barrier, and then there's like a black gas tendril thing that wraps around them.
Yeah, it's like a chain, but it's made out of what looks like clouds.
Yeah, it's the wreaths of Ravina.
Sure. I do want to say too that I don't know if it's just this particular issue or maybe just how it was printed. Like, some of it's hard to read. Like, it looks like it was smudged. Or the letters.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, over there, because I was like, what does that say? Or I'm just getting really old, but I was wearing my glasses.
So they wake, they come to, and the leader of this group, turns out it was that dude Tyrone, who...
Yeah, the dead teacher man.
The dead teacher man. Turns out he called Luke Cage. He gave the tip to Luke Cage to come in, because what the plan is,
mm-hmm.
is that he was going to fake his death.
Yep.
And he knew that Luke was going to get mad. And I knew that somebody like Satan was going to, like, Son of Satan was going to be like, let me save you. And then he turned to Ash and he was like, cool. First part of the plan done.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and now, well, hopefully, I don't know if he says, I mean, I'm a little bit confused because actually, does he call both of them? Did he say he calls upon both of them, or was it just Luke?
I thought it was just Luke because it seems like
Damian was just walking around.
Yeah, and I thought it was just Luke because he was like, oh, you see me every day and you pity me and you give me money. And,
yeah,
you know, he just was, I don't know, having like a shit fit for no reason. Kinda.
He's having a shit fit, but he's like, you know what? What I need to do is what's going on is that I'm like friends with this Satanish guy and he needs like a strong body.
Yeah.
So we're going to like use your steel skin body to like,
yeah,
become like a Satanish guy.
Yeah.
They're working on that. And just as about their to do, because they took Damien's staff.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that doesn't matter because I am the son of Satan. And it's in my body. So I'll just go ahead and just blow out.
Yeah, you can't actually take, like, the power is not in the staff. It is in me.
It is in me. It was me all along.
Yep.
It was me, the Satan all along. And
Satan all along.
So they blow out of that and... You know, we got a brawl between all these other worshipers, which, I mean, how any of them would stand a chance is beyond, you know, is ridiculous because
diamond skin
is you got Luke Cage with diamond skin and you got Damian with his fire staff, you know,
literal Satan power,
little Satan power. And they're going to town, beating those guys up. And
then like the Satanish actually like appears.
He's actually there. He's just kind of like this big, like head, kind of like on the cover.
Yeah. He's like hanging out, like looking down from some clouds or whatever. And he gets mad at that guy.
Well, the guy is like, hey, give me some power so I could like fight these dudes.
And he's like, you know what? Fuck you.
And he's like, no. Hellstorm is like, well, what you don't realize is that he's going to turn on you because
he's a demon.
Because he's a demon and all men in general are his enemy. So he grabs this Tyrone guy. Luke is like, hey man, I'm gonna save you. And I do enjoy him jumping on Satanish's fist and just kind of punching his knuckle.
Yeah, which is really funny because he like grabs this guy and he's like lifting him up, and like Luke Cage grabs on, and so he gets up to like his face.
Yeah,
the demon's face. And
oh, is he about to eat him?
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I could do this. He's like, but I really admire the fact that you just like came for me, even though you stand no chance. So because of that, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah. Okay. I like this, how the end of the story pretty much ends. It's just like, all right. So like they fight somebody and then the villain's just like, meh,
meh.
You know what? I think you're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go see you later.
We like you.
Yeah. So he drops Luke and this guy, this Tyrone, and Hellstorm saves Tyrone because he puts him down and he's dying because apparently Luke survives. Yep. Luke's okay because
Diamond skin. Yeah.
But
this guy,
mere mortal, he felt the icy touch of Satanish, whatever.
Would he have an icy? Okay.
No, I don't know.
You know what? I'm not going to ask.
You'd think he'd be a fiery touch.
I would assume so.
But apparently it's so hot, it's cold.
Oh, it's one of those. It's icy hot.
Yeah, he rubbed icy hot on this guy.
Icy hot the demon.
He put icy hot on this guy's jockstrap, and he was like, I'm dying.
No.
Because we didn't know what icy hot would do. Actually, it was like Ben Gay.
Okay.
It was like, I think it was Ben Gay in the 70s or in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
He just dies and looks sad. That is it.
Yeah.
That is how that ends.
It is.
We just, villain just pieces out and a dude dies.
Yep.
The end.
Do you like comics? The 1960s? How about middle-aged gay couples gossiping about their neighbors? Then you'll love Checkered Past. A loving examination of DC's Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published from February 1966 to August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob. And I'm Dr. Husband. And each week we'll be your hosts on a trippy tour through mid-century four-color madness. Checkered Past. Available wherever fine podcasts are downloaded for free.
So now we move on to the Spider-Man and the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And this story is called The Obligation. And it's also very tight. Like, you wouldn't even, you have to really search for that
because
title.
Because I honestly did not see it.
And it is drawn, story by Jim Shooter.
Yep.
Art by Tomoyuki Takanaka, which is actually interesting because I'm not familiar with this artist. And I kind of was like, oh, this is interesting. It's a comic book style, but it's just, you know, there's something different about the Hulk. He's you know, he's clean looking and he's
sure.
This one looks really cool. But yeah, it's called The Obligation. And as we mentioned, special bonus feature some time ago, a version of this story was printed in a special newspaper Sunday supplement. Since it was only distributed in certain cities, we thought you'd get a real kick out of seeing the original story, aka we were short on some content. Somebody didn't send their stuff in in time.
Yeah,
somebody screwed up over here. Stan is whipping them with a noodle, and we have to run this.
Yeah,
and it says also these events take place long before Hulk 272.
Right, I'm assuming that was the one that was just released.
It's around this time.
Yeah.
And what happens in that issue is that Hulk was in space hanging out with Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy to think. That's not crazy to think because it's Marvel, but, you know, it's just comic books. But Rocket Raccoon first appeared in a Hulk comic.
How funny.
Like he just, you know, the Hulk was in space just frigging around like as he tends to do.
Yeah.
Like something, because that's the thing. Like Hulk would just be like, Hulk on Earth, Hulk smashing, and then it's like Hulk in the rocket, you know, and now he's like Hulk in the dimension, different dimension or whatever. And so he meets Rocket Raccoon, and that's how Rocket Raccoon got introduced to Marvel.
Interesting.
But this is around that time, and he came back from space and ends up in Canada.
Okay.
And he's just Bruce Banner, and he is trying to find shelter or whatever, and he ends up running into Sasquatch
mm-hmm.
from Alpha Flight or Walter Lankowski at the time, because I always thought that Sasquatch was always just Sasquatch all the time, but he does churn back and forth.
Okay,
so he's over there, and like Sasquatch is trying to like find the Wendigo,
okay,
you know, which is, you know, and so we, you know, and Hulk obviously, you know, has experience with the Wendigo because that's when Wolverine was introduced in that story where they fought the Wendigo.
Right.
And he was in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There's and the Marvel Wiki. So like, you go on the Marvel Wiki, you look up the issue, and most of the time there's a synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
This one had to have been written by AI.
Oh God.
Because there is so many spelling errors and just stuff that I'm like, what did somebody type this and have like a stroke or their mind short out or something?
Maybe.
Quite possibly.
Did they run it through a translator? Something happened here.
There's just it's not so much a translator. It's just like letters that are like misplaced and things. It's just really, it's weird.
Hmm.
It's not great.
Right.
So but that's what I was able to gather is that he hooks up with them, and then like they end up fighting the Wendigo, but Hulk, because he was in space and there's a bunch of like cosmic radiation or whatever, and on his way back or whatever, Bruce Banner can't turn into the Hulk.
Okay.
But as he finds out, he could actually control these transformations.
Oh, okay. So right now we're at the place where he can't control it, and he also doesn't really remember them, at least in this story.
Yeah, this is like pre-Hulk where everything's just kind of the way, like he gets mad, he turns into the Hulk,
right?
Whatever. But, you know.
Yeah, this is when he has no control. At least the story we're reading now is when he has no control.
It's pre to that. So that's why they had to mention that. Because people would be like, what the fuck? Well, Hulk, he doesn't do it. Like, he should know what he's doing. It's like, no, he doesn't. Anyways, Bruce Banner just like, he's like, hey, I'm going to go to New York and like, you know, maybe see a ball game. And then like something happens and he just turns into the Hulk and terrible things. You know, the cops are trying to take him down. I do actually enjoy him grabbing a light pole and just slinging it. It looks kind of really cool. I think just the way that he's tossing it at him. And he blows up a Jeep or a car.
Because the cops are trying to take him down.
But then Peter Parker's there and he's like, hey.
He's like, I'm down to my last $5.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put my new whatever cam he has in his belt.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to try to get some pictures of the Hulk so I can make money because I'm broke as hell and also, you know, save the city.
I actually kind of like the way this is written just because it's funny. I know what it means, but mm-hmm. it's funny in the way. So this cop is like, you know, the Hulk's got like a big like rock above his head, about to throw it at some people.
Which, where he got that in the middle of the city, we do not know.
I think he ripped it up for the street. He's just nice. Like, fuck this street.
Yeah, fuck this street.
Fuck this street. Have at it. And this cop is saying small arms are useless against him. And I he's talking about obviously like pistols and stuff, but I just imagine just like
tiny arms like a T-Rex.
Yeah, a bunch of cops are going up to him with like these tiny arms, like, it's not working.
Why isn't it working? It's like like T-Rex arms.
Where are they? Yeah, but at least the T-Rex cop.
Maybe they got like a cop robot like they have in New York now, but it's got like T-Rex arms.
Wait, they got a cop robot?
Yeah. It just sits in the subway. It doesn't do anything.
Well, what's the point of it?
Nothing. Usually there's like 8 guys standing around looking at their phones while the cop robot just sits there.
Wait, people that work for the police?
Yeah, like cops just standing on the subway looking at their phones.
But what is the... Do they have to do that with like a robot cop?
I have no idea.
Are they controlling the robot cop?
I have no idea. It just sits there. I don't know what it does.
Does the robot cop, if you stand near it enough, he sends you like messages and like it's like funny jokes and shit?
I mean, that would be that would be fun. But I'm assuming, I don't remember where it was, but there was like a little robot that was like going around a mall or whatever, and it eventually committed suicide by falling into a pond, like one of those little water features in a mall, because it did not want to live anymore.
We are so close to chopping mall.
We are so close. You know what?
I don't know why.
Give me chopping mall.
Look, if we can't get flying cars, give me chopping mall.
I will fucking take chopping mall at this point.
I will gladly go to a mall and be trapped inside with robots that can't recognize me.
And
want to kill me.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine with me.
I want to see if that's going to happen. I want to have a party in a department store.
Yeah.
And go get some cigarettes and get murdered by a robot.
Apparently, you got to have sex in a furniture store, which is kind of gross.
That's where all the beds are.
I mean, that is correct. That is where all the beds are.
I feel like that was in that movie. It's it's not so much just friends. It's like a group of like a fetish group. They're like, we have to have sex on beds and stores.
Yeah.
How do we do this?
Gross.
Chopping mall. More butter.
The more butter guy, my favorite guy. Waitress, more butter.
Actually, it'd be a great, great deleted scene if they drive by that restaurant and that guy's still sitting there and he's like, robot, more butter. And then they shoot him with a taser and he explodes.
That'd be great.
How come I didn't get a pass on that script?
That's a good question.
Oh, because I was 6.
I was going to say you were too young.
Because I was 6.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man shows up. He webs Hulk in the face.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And Hulk is just like ripping it off. He's calling Spider-Man Bugman, so just, you know.
Yes, Bugman.
Just so we know that, because he's got little names for everybody. And then we kind of get, like, the scene from the cover but it's from a different angle, where Hulk is trying to punch Spider-Man, and he's hitting a wall instead. And Hulk throws a car at him. I just enjoy Hulk throwing things.
Oh, yeah, it's good time.
It's good time. And Spider-Man's like, well, hey, motherfucker, I got spider strength. I caught this.
Yeah.
So, eat shit, Hulk. But Hulk is actually mad now because Spider-Man's like running away and he's like, I'm going to kill Hulk's like, I'm gonna kill Spider-Man.
Neat.
Like, I am going to jump around because Spider-Man's also like cracking jokes on him and he's like,
because that's what he does.
Yo, man, you corny.
Pretty much.
I'm gonna not gonna stomp your fucking face in.
Neat.
So he's running around and Hulk loses track of him and Hulk is like, well, I'm gonna go take a nap.
He's like, I'm tired, because he like ends up in an alleyway.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what, Hulk tired. And I'm just going to go sleep now. And that's what he does.
Hulk tired. And then Spider-Man turns into back into Peter Parker.
Well, because what happens is like, so the Hulk goes to take a nap and Peter like crawls down the wall. He's like, okay, time to get him. And he's like, but my spider sense, which usually goes crazy around the Hulk, is kind of fading and I'm not sure what's going on. And then he's like, oh, he turned back into Bruce Banner. So luckily I have my civilian clothes with me. So he puts on his civilian clothes and he goes in and Bruce Banner's like, you know, what do you want, policeman? And he's like,
well, he wants death by suicide by cop.
He really does. I can't blame him.
Because he's like, kill me, officer. And he's like, no, I'm not an officer. I'm just Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Here's my coat. I'm going to be a cool dude. Bruce is like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. Because he's like, oh, you're going to take me? And he's like, no, you know, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to help you get out of here. So, you know, take my coat because you look like you're cold.
Mm-hmm.
And here, take $5. That's all I got on me.
Yeah. This is my last, because he mentions in the beginning of the story, he's on to his last $5.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man gives, or, you know, Peter Parker gives Bruce the $5. And he's like, hey man, that's why money was invented, to give it to other people.
Yeah. And he's like, I can't take this money. And he's like, no, it's okay. He's like, you know what? The thing is
pay
he's
like,
somebody gave this to me when I was down on my luck. And this $5 exists just to be passed around from person to person. So if you run into somebody who's down on their luck, just pay it forward.
Yeah, just pay it forward.
You know, type of thing.
You know, so now we jump ahead a weeks later or months or whatever, and it's Hulk is in Chicago. He's there to see a Cubbies. You know, he's like, hey, I got a job. You know, I finally something stable.
I got a room in this boarding house.
I got some more purple pants.
Yep, got new purple pants.
New purple pants, very important. He finds this dude just, you know, on by an alley, and he's like, oh shit, I've been robbed. they took my pension money. That's all I got.
Yeah.
And Bruce is like, where's the cops? And he's actually just running around like yelling for cops.
Yeah.
And he just happens to run into the crooks.
Yeah.
You know, because the crooks are like, hey, hey, pal, you're making too much noise. How about two of us punch you in the stomach at the same time?
Right.
Which is kind of crazy.
And then he turns in.
I just like a good artistic drawing of a beat
down. Yeah, no, and that's a good one.
It's like, because you just, it's these two dudes, like, they're both wearing vests and they're jacked as shit.
Uh-huh.
And they're both punching Luke in Bruce in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you just see like the impact, like the blinding impact or whatever. It's kind of great. But then as they're doing that, it's like, oh no, he's getting bigger. And
he's Hulk.
Hulk just starts smashes these dudes. They leave. And he throws them out, and Hulk is like, fuck everything. Humans are terrible. Let's smash the city.
He is correct.
And I do enjoy him. So he goes from like smashing this car.
Yeah.
And the next scene is him just look like he's just casually walking down the street with a lamppost.
Yeah.
And kind of willy nilly, just kind of swinging it. And like people are just somehow not miles away from him already. They're just like, oh shit.
Yeah,
the Hulk's behind me, and he's swinging a light post. I better move out of the way.
Good idea.
And so he's doing that, and he comes upon the guy that got robbed. And the guy that robbed is like...
And he's just sitting there in an alley, just you know.
He's sad because he lost his pension money.
He lost all of his money. You know, he doesn't care. He's ready for death.
He wants death by Hulk.
100%.
He's like, I don't care. Because Hulk's like, how come you don't run, you stupid human? And he's like, I'm too tired. Just go ahead and kill me. Like, just pound me into paste.
Do it. Be sweet.
Whatever this guy says triggers in the Hulk's conscious and reaches Bruce Banner.
Yeah, some like deep memory.
Deep memory, and Hulk pulls out a wad of cash. I don't know if it's the cash that he stole from those guys.
Yeah.
Or that he got back from those guys or whatever. And just gives it to this fellow. And it says, because this is why they call it the obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime later, Bruce Banner will find himself on a dark, lonely street, exhausted, but somehow comforted by the feeling that a sacred obligation has been fulfilled.
Yep. There you go.
So
that's it.
That's how that ends. And, you know, it's not a big story by any means. It's not a Titanic tale, but it is a wholesome tale.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a good message. The art is pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
The art is great.
Yeah.
And it's a good read.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's better than the Power Man and Son of Satan.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I just will I'll point that out because, you know, the Son of Satan one, you know, it's been Power Man. Like, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I'm always here to see those guys do something. But, you know, it kind of just ends like meh.
Right.
You know, it doesn't. And not that if it was the whole issue, like if this was like an issue of like Son of Satan or Power Man or Power Man and Iron Fist, and you know, Hellstorm shows up and it's like, oh, let's go do that. I'm like, yeah, that'd be rad. I'm sure there'd be a much more fleshed out issue, but this is just a backup of some sort.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
And but the whole Spoke and Hider-Man. The Hulk and Spider-Man. That story is much better.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah, I'm down with that. And that's gonna do it for this episode.
Yeah.
Look at that. We read two stories in one issue. This, of course, being from Marvel Team Up,
mm-hmm,
number 126 from February 1983.
Yes. And that ends this trilogy.
The trilogy of Marvel Team Up.
So we will start something new next time.
I don't know what it's going to be.
Which we don't know.
I don't know what it's going to be. What I want to say real quick, because we went to Second and Charles, our favorite store out here. We went to a location that we don't normally go to. And it's a location that I feel like is not really great. Doesn't have like a lot of like good content.
Yeah, there. But this time,
for some reason, they were really stepping it up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really looking for trades or anything like that, but I just was like, I'll just poke my head over here. And they had a trade for the Avengers Galactic Storm, you know, compilation of all these different issues from the, you know, because it goes across like various books.
Yeah.
I was happy to see that because I've been looking for it. And it was for a pretty good price. Cause usually it's, you know, it's much more condensed now too. So I was like, I gotta snap this up. So I was happy to see that. And that kind of makes me think like, well, maybe at some point we might do that too.
Yeah, nice.
Cause there's a lot of easily digestible books already, or I mean the books already you know, completed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do like whatever those issues are, we might get to that.
But yeah.
I don't know. We might do something. I was thinking maybe some Savage Dragon.
Oh, that'd be fun. You know,
we have it. That's the thing. I think we've done Savage Dragon before. Maybe we haven't. I think we've talked about it.
I think maybe once.
I feel like we maybe did at least once.
Yeah.
But I think we're, you know, I have a few trades of that. So we might dive into that and see how that goes.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, social media, Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm on all the socials at Jen Stansfield.
And of course, YouTube features a playlist that is linked to the description of the show. You can find all the episodes, new episodes, old episodes. If you listen on YouTube, you can find them right there on that playlist. It's just a still image of our, you know, our artwork. But I think that's really cool for everybody that listens on YouTube. You get to have that option. And of course, if you're on there, please leave a comment. If you have a few comments, just people be like, wow, you guys are back. So I'm happy to hear that. And then also Spotify.
Yeah.
Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts.
We're there.
Yeah, we're there most likely.
You cannot escape us.
Well, let's wrap it up, folks. We'll catch you again next time.
Bye.